So what do you think of the wisdom of crowds? It is important. Just look at democracy. That seems to be looking rather wobbly these days, doesn't it? Does democracy actually work anymore? Do we get the best results despite the gerrymanders in the United States and the weird and wonderful parties on gigantic voting papers here? Do juries get it right? And is it true that crowds will guess the weight of a cow correctly when individuals like you and me will get it wrong? Who can we ask about these crucial questions? Well, in the best traditions of this program, the answer's obvious. A mathematically minded expert on dunking biscuits, Dr. Len Fisher from the Department of Physics of the University of Bristol.
There's been a lot of debate recently about fairness in Australian society. Is it fair, for example, for young working people to provide retirement support for an ageing population? Or should the retirement age be raised instead? Is it fair to allow racial abuse in order to preserve freedom of speech? Is our electoral system fair when preferences can be manipulated so that a minor party gains a Senate seat with less than 1% of the vote? All of these things involve social choices, that is, choices that we make as a group. Today, I want to introduce you to a shocking truth, that no matter how we go about making those choices, they can never be totally fair. Mathematics says so, in the form of a theorem that was proved by the economist Kenneth Arrow way back in 1951. It is called Arrow's impossibility theorem, and it says that we can never meet all of the reasonable criteria for fairness and justice in our social choices simultaneously. What this means in practice is that we need to change our way of thinking. We need to stop searching for the perfect electoral system or the ideal set of attitudes or the right political agenda, no pun intended. Instead, we need to accept the inevitable imperfection in our social decisions and concentrate our efforts on deciding which sort of imperfection is the most acceptable. The use of mathematics to understand and guide social decision-making goes back a long way. In fact, it goes back to the establishment of the first French constitution in 1789. One of the guiding lights was a mathematician called Marquis de Condorcet, who came up with a stunning proof of the power of group intelligence. It is called Condorcet's jury theorem, and it says that if every member of a group has a better than 50-50 chance of getting the right answer to a question, then the chance of a majority verdict being correct rises rapidly as the size of the group increases. For example, if there are two alternatives, and each person has a 60% chance of picking the right one, then the chance of the majority of the group getting the right one goes up to 80% for a group of 17 and 90% for a group of 45. You can see the jury theorem working before your eyes in the program Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, when a contestant chooses to ask the audience. Just going with the majority decision of the audience will almost invariably be right. So when millions of us are involved in making a social decision, such as electing a government, surely the jury theorem says that the majority verdict will be the right one, right? Wrong. Because, of course, when we are electing a government or making any of the social decisions that I mentioned earlier, there is no right answer. What we are looking for is a fair answer. And this is where Kenneth Arrow comes in. Kenneth Arrow is a Stanford University economist who's still going strong, although he is now in his 90s. He won the 1972 Nobel Prize for his impossibility theorem, but he actually conceived the idea while he was working for his PhD thesis at Columbia University. It is staggeringly simple in essence, even though it required quite advanced mathematics to prove it rigorously. I'm not concerned with the mathematics here, only what the theorem means to us in our everyday lives. What Arrow did was to look at a perfectly reasonable set of requirements for us as a group to make fair social choices, and then to show that we could not meet them all simultaneously. Something has to give. Arrow's particular focus was on electoral systems, although the result that he found is applicable to social choices of all kinds, so long as we are able to put our choices in some sort of ranking order. He suggested that a fair system needed to meet four conditions, all of which sound perfectly reasonable in isolation. The first condition is that when every individual's choices are ranked in order of preference, the social choice should be the most preferred alternative. This is called the principle of collective rationality. So, if most of us preferred to work for an extra 2 years rather than take a cut in retirement pension, that would be the collectively rational choice under the circumstances. The second condition is that the social choice process should never yield a particular outcome if there is another feasible alternative that everyone prefers. Technically, this is called the Pareto principle. It seems pretty obvious, but the Australian electoral system shows that such a fair distribution of preferences is not always so easy to achieve in practice. The third condition is that if one choice is removed from the list, the group voting order for the other choices should not change. This is called the principle of irrelevant alternatives. This also seems pretty reasonable, but human behaviour is not always that rational. There is a nice story of a person buying a pair of shoes in a particular model and being offered a choice between a black pair and a brown pair. The person had just decided on the black pair when the salesman discovered that he also had a maroon pair available. On seeing these, the buyer then decided that they preferred the brown pair. In this case, the extra alternative was somehow not irrelevant, since its presence changed the buyer's mind. Finally, there should be no possibility of a dictator. In other words, it should not be possible for one individual's preferences automatically to become those of society, regardless of anyone else's preferences. These are the criteria for fair social choice that Arrow listed in his Nobel Prize acceptance speech, which is really a good read, if you skip the mathematics. They all seem perfectly reasonable, but what he showed was that you can't have them all at once. It seems amazing, for example, that if we have an electoral system that meets the principle of collective rationality, the Pareto principle, and the principle of irrelevant alternatives, then Arrow's theorem shows that the only way we can meet them all completely is by having a dictator. The Austrian mathematician Kurt Gödel discovered this about the United States Constitution some years before Arrow came up with his theorem. Gödel escaped from Nazi Germany before the Second World War, and eventually landed up at the Institute for Advanced Study in Princeton, along with Einstein and others. After the war, he decided to apply for US citizenship with Einstein as one of his sponsors. This is where the fun started. Most listeners will have heard of Gödel's incompleteness theorem, where he used a rigorously logical approach to prove that in any mathematical system, there will always be some theorems that are true, but which can never be proved, and other theorems that are false, but can never be disproved within the system. Gödel decided to apply the same rigorous logic to the United States Constitution as part of his preparation for his citizenship examination. He found to his horror just what Arrow later proved, that the Constitution fulfilled most of the requirements for democratic fairness, but that it actually allowed under some circumstances for the election of a dictator. Gödel was already suffering from the paranoia that would plague his later life, and he really couldn't let this pass. During his examination, the judge asked him if he thought that a Nazi regime like the one from which he had escaped could happen in the United States. Gödel excitedly began to expound his discovery and to criticize the whole logical formulation of the Constitution, much to the concern of Einstein. Luckily, the judge was a man of sense, and cut Gödel off before he could dig too deep a pit for himself. So far as I know, that inconsistency in the US Constitution is still there. According to Arrow's theorem, it has to be, unless it is removed and replaced by a different glitch. The same stricture applies to the flaw in the Australian electoral system that permitted the power broker Glenn Drury to arrange a preferences deal between the minor parties, so that one of them was bound to win a Senate seat with less than 1% of the vote. Maybe the way to fix this one is to change the system to allow for the election of a dictator instead. The real point of this talk, though, is that we should stop trying to find the perfect system for voting, welfare, or any other form of social choice. What we should be doing is looking carefully at the criteria for fairness and deciding which one we can best relax in practice or even do without. Just how we go about making such a decision is another question, and one that I'm not really qualified to comment on. Maybe we should just take a vote on it and take the majority verdict. But the Marquis de Condorcet had something to say about this as well. It is called his voting paradox. What he discovered was that if we use majority voting to decide between three or more alternatives, it is perfectly possible for A to beat B and for B to beat C, but for C to beat A. And this is not the only paradox when it comes to using majority voting to choose between three or more alternatives. If the winning alternative is the one that garners the most votes, then it is not only possible but normal for the winner to be the choice of the minority. These problems in social choice have never really been satisfactorily resolved, but at least we should be aware of them. Maybe Winston Churchill was right when he said that democracy is the worst form of government, except all those other forms that have been tried from time to time. And even with the fairest possible voting system in the world, there is still the human dimension to consider when it comes to social choice. People may vote tactically, form voting blocks, or be influenced by personalities rather than issues. In particular, they are likely to vote for the person, policy, or party that seems to best serve their personal interests. All of these questions are the province of game theory, which tells us that when each of us acts solely in our own self-interest, we can still end up in situations where self-interest is the last thing that is being served. But that's a topic for another program. For the moment, Condorcet and Arrow have given us more than enough to puzzle over in our search for fairness in our society.
And puzzle we must. Dr. Len Fisher, who's based at the Department of Physics at the University of Bristol and who won an Ig Nobel Prize for his deep analysis of the physics behind the dunking of donuts and biscuits. And he always takes a lateral view on common themes. Thanks, Len. Next week, Graham Palmer from Melbourne on why fossil fuels will be needed for the indefinite future, whatever renewables may provide. I'm Robin Williams.